Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 1. We'll set up this scripture a little bit for you. The Apostle Paul had started this church in Galatia, and he had moved on in his journeys and had left the church to function, and he had gotten word that there were people that were moving in that were basically perverting the gospel and were trying to tell the Christians that, no, you still have to adhere strictly to the Jewish law. And this message of Christ, that's fine and dandy, but don't forget the law. The law is really important in, to make you holy. And Paul got word of this, and let me just say before we read this that that it's not as if when we by grace, it says God's word tells us that by grace through faith that we are saved, and that doesn't mean that anything goes, that we can just go out and behave any way we want to. No, we're called to be a righteous people, to be a holy people. But we're talking about this idea of faith in Jesus Christ being what's necessary for salvation. So Paul writes this letter. Here's how he responded as he got word that the Galatians were getting off track. And they also were questioning these people that were kind of saddling them with the law. They were questioning, well, Paul told you that. Paul's not really, he's not really an apostle. And so they even began to question who he was and his authority. So listen to Paul's response in this letter. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So immediately Paul puts to rest who he is, that he was not sent by men. He doesn't have a message to deliver from men, but by Jesus Christ himself. And all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. He's moving into the actual gospel that he had shared with them. To whom be glory forever, to rescue us from this, let me back up just a second, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, the law, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, him and his disciples, or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned! Exclamation point. You think Paul's serious about this letter, about what he's saying? As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned! Exclamation point. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, speak in power and authority, and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you had, I sent it kind of late, I meant to get it out earlier in the weekend. How many of you read the email that I sent last night? Bunch of you. And this is, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you're bold enough. How many of you came to church this morning to see what I had to say because of that email? A few brave souls. I'm liking it. Well, if you missed the email, if you're not on our email list and would like to be, that's how we do a lot of communicating here. Not completely, but we do a lot of communicating that way. We'd love to put you on our list if you would like to be there. You can write that down and put it up here on the altar table. We'll get it in. What I basically said and what I want to talk a little bit about this morning, as you know, about nine of us went to IHOP in Kansas City. It's a ministry, International House of Prayer. It's a ministry that amazes me. I'm blown away by what they have done and are doing. In September, it'll be 13 years that I want you to envision this group of people, this many people approximately in this room. For 13 years, this room has had, this many or maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, but has had worship and prayer for 13 years, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Now, I don't think anybody has been there that, the full time. Probably new people coming and going, but I want you to think about in this place, 13 years. Let your mind wrap around that for a minute. You think God would honor that? You think God would be in that place and would be eager to have his children come and hear his word? Well, so we went, and this is our third year for some of us that have been, and for others it was the first year, but it was a first for me this year. They have a ministry that they do kind of in conjunction with the prayer room, and it's called a prophetic ministry. And they have people involved in their ministry who have, through different exploration, have come to the realization they have a gift of prophecy. Now, when we start talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit, it scares us. I don't know really why. I have some theories, but it seems to scare us. And I don't know. For me, I am so eager for the Holy Spirit to do stuff in my midst and in my life. I'm yearning for that. It wasn't anything weird. It wasn't like, anybody, swinging on chandeliers or rolling around or jumping over chairs or anything like that. It was just basically we went into this room, and I had the privilege of going in with Billy and Carlene, and we all had different people we went and saw. But we went in, and there's these two lovely little ladies that explained to us. They said, "Have you ever been in do this before?" "No." And they explained to us, like, look, we're responding to the Word of God that says that there will be prophecy and that the purpose is to build the church. I mean, it's to encourage and to direct and to build the church up. And so we're not going to, do anything weird, and we're not going to, point out all this sin in your life or any of that kind of stuff. That's not the purpose of what we're doing. And so they prayed and they asked the Holy Spirit to show up, and they asked them ask the Holy Spirit to give them what they should say to us. It was that simple. And so we began to let them do that. And I want you, I've actually, when they got to me, they spoke a lot of things that I think pertained to me individually, but I think they also spoke some things that pertains to our ministry here and to you. And I want to give you a little bit of credibility that these folks, I believe, really are gifted from the Holy Spirit. The first thing the lady said to me, first thing out of her mouth was, "Are you a pastor?" And I'm in shorts, T-shirts, tennis shoes. Nobody knows me there except the eight I came with. There's hundreds of people there, probably not a handful of pastors in the whole place. And that's the first thing she said to me, "Are you a pastor?" And with Carlene, and I've asked her permission to share this, but part of this, what she shared with Carlene was, she said, "I see you on a mountainside." First she said, "You're bubbly." The word bubbly. didn't she? She said, "Your personality's bubbly, isn't it?" And Carlene had not been her bubbly self. She just came in and sat down just like I did. And she said, "You're bubbly." And she said, "I see you on a hillside with speaking to a bunch of little lambs." And Billy and I are over there like, "Holy moly." And then she got to me and she said this about being a pastor. And I want you to listen to just about 4 minutes here of this is actually these ladies speaking to us, and you'll see that there wasn't any weird stuff going on, but the things that they say. So I want you to listen to this, if you would.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Jeff, are you a pastor? Okay, that's what I got. I heard that it's going to mushroom. Whatever you've started is really... I saw like a Hiroshima thingy. Well, when they used to... On the... What is that? The flats in Mexico where they tested the atomic bomb. That's what I saw a picture of. And I see that as your ministry and your church and what it is that you're doing, I see that really exploding. It's going to be a good explosion. And I don't know what town you're from, but I see things changing because of what you've started in your town, in the neighborhoods where you have influence. Yes, Jeff. This word is for Jeff. I just one thing I'm getting right now is I see you standing in this desert, this place that's really dusty and dry, and it's just dusty and dry, just ugh. And it seems as if it's a barren land. And it seems like you're the only one in this barren land. But I just sense that the Lord is saying, just know that there are others. Others who are in the same place that you are in. And I just sense that the Lord is just saying that in due time you will see wells of living water spring forth out of the dry ground. And then I see another picture, and I see a lot of beggars around you as if it were just people that are destitute with rags hanging off of them and whatnot. And I just said, and I just sense that the Lord's heart is so burning for them. There are people that don't want to be bothered with them, and they're inching their way towards your path. And the Lord is saying that he trusts you to shepherd them well. He trusts you to take care of those that nobody else wants to be bothered with. And because of that sacrifice, I just sense that the Lord is going to strengthen you. Strengthen you in your labor of love, in your labor towards in what the Lord called you to do. And then the other thing is, the Lord is like a little child right now. I can just sense his heart, the excitement and the joy and the thrill of the Lord's heart to take you into a whole nother place, not only in your walk with him, but in the overflow of that coming out of your heart and coming out of your hands. And I just sense that the Lord wants to take you through the school of the Holy Spirit. It's time for some supernatural things to come forth through the ministry. And I just sense that the Lord is just saying, because you trust him and you're willing to sit at his feet and to learn and to not reject, that he is going to take you into a place where he's going to show you some things and really open your eyes and actually cause the overflow of all that to manifest in a tangible way. And so I just sense the Lord is saying, get ready for that. It's going to be an awesome ride with the Holy Spirit. Peace. Also, I just sense that there's restoration. There's restoration is meant to be part of your life, not only personally, but restoration as the outflow of your ministry. And so that's why the destitute ones, the beggarly ones, the outcast ones that people don't want to be bothered with. The Lord's going to...
I want to recap a couple of things that she said, and I've edited this, and there's other things, but most of it was real specifically for me, so I've edited those out of here, and it wasn't anything weird there either. You're welcome to hear the whole thing if you would like, but she said your ministry, your church is going to mushroom. She sees like an atomic cloud, an atomic explosion. Things were changing in the town and the neighborhoods where we have influence. She said she saw me standing in a dry and dusty desert. Y'all know, because I shared it with you before I went, that I was in a dry place when I went. She said, in due time, you will see wells of living water spring forth from the dry ground. And she talked about seeing these beggars in rags inching their way into my path. And I take that into our path. Who have we been reaching out to as a church? I mean, she didn't know anything about the Carver neighborhood. She didn't know anything about Granny and Russell and the things that we've been doing. And she sees these people inching their way. Into our path. No one else has the time or wants to take the trouble with them. They don't want to be bothered. And the Lord trusts us to shepherd them well, and He will strengthen us in that endeavor. I listed some of the summary of what you just heard on the page where you could kind of absorb it later, but one of the things I did, I cut out, and I think it's important for y'all to know this. Again, to me, it gives it was so ministering to my soul, but also it gives credibility. Something that's really been on my heart a lot is my mom and dad. And I didn't play it there, but at the very end, it was almost like she's talking about all this other stuff and nothing about that, and almost just like a little footnote at the end, right before she stopped, she said, "And the Lord wants you to know that He has those closest to you in the palm of His hand. And that you don't have to worry about that." And man, I just broke like a twig. So, man, the Lord loves us, church. The Lord loves us. And He has big plans for us. I'll tell you, I want to, as I came back from that trip, feeling replenished and eager to move forward in His will, almost immediately, well, it was, I came home on Saturday night, come to church that morning, and this is my own struggle. It wasn't anything bad or anything enormous, but a couple of things happened at church that morning that really just, it was like throwing a bucket of water on this flame in my soul that was flaming, and the enemy doesn't want what God wants for us. Do you know that? And he is what I have had my own vision of what's going on here, and I see. She talked about being in a desert. What I saw was. That God has a path, a kingdom path that He wants us on to walk us out of the desert. And what I envisioned that next week as I struggled with some of the stuff that I've been struggling with was that the enemy has set up landmines along our path. And if we don't stay fixed on God and on His will for us and on His kingdom, we will fall victim to these landmines. If we get off, if we stray to the right or stray to the left, we will fall victim. And I was thinking specifically, what are some of those landmines for each of us? And you know, you're going to have to evaluate for yourself. Maybe as I go through these, you may kind of go, that's not me, and that's fine. I hope none of these are you, but there's a couple that I struggle with. And so I'm starting off with the first one, which is my struggle, and that's people-pleasing. God showed me 12 years ago when I just surrendered to the ministry, He showed me very soon, very quickly, that if I try to please people, it's going to be a long old haul for you, Jeff Hatcher. And see, everything in me, everything the way I'm wired, everything in me, I want to be an encourager. And I want to be I want to be all about love and unity and getting along and being happy and all of those kinds of things and encouraging one another. I want to be all those things. But I want to tell you, church, and I'm just being real with you this morning, that if it comes down to pleasing you or pleasing God, you lose. I'm just being as honest as I can be with you. Because see, if we take any issue that comes before us, and we were to do a survey, what do you think about this? We're gonna, if there's 250 of us here, we're probably gonna have 100, 200 different opinions on something. And God knows that, and that's how we are. That's how He's made us. And it's okay for us to think, and it's okay for us to discuss and have disagreements and whatnot. But bottom line is, our goal should be to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will come after that. And so I just need you to hear that, even though that's and it's not a, I'm not saying that now I'm going to just go around being mean to people. I mean, that's not, hopefully you won't see that in me. But I understand that there's going to be varying opinions on different things. And as we move forward, as God leads us forward, I'll tell you, even my people-pleasing thing, even to talk about this, let me give you kind of the scenario, what goes on in a people-pleasing pastor's brain. I'm thinking, well, I can't talk about this in church. I can't talk about this in church because we'll have visitors there. They might think that we're, an unhealthy church. Well, I can't talk about, I might even say some of these things that I'm going to be talking about could be offensive to someone. It might hurt their feelings. And they may think I'm talking about them. And so I got all these things, bombarding me. And if you're new to our church or you're visiting this morning, I want to tell you something flat out. We have an awesome church. Amen. We have an awesome church. And I love you guys with all my heart. But I want you to know, as I said, if it comes down to pleasing you or pleasing God, just you need to know where you rank in that list. Second landmine that is out there is complacency. In years past, I had a district superintendent that told me that they went to visit a church, and it was a country church, and they went to visit them and meet them for the very first time. And when this DS walked in the room, they were greeted by this message: "Leave us alone. We like our church just the way it is." And it wasn't they weren't being ugly. They wanted to make sure that the DS knew, district superintendent, if you're not familiar with that term, that they knew that we like our size, we like where we are, we like everything about our church just the way it is. And I told my DS, I said, "Where's that in the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? I thought Jesus said, go and make disciples." I thought that was our goal, was to go and make disciples. I didn't know it was to find where we're comfortable and where everything's just the way we like it. It's like, it's not too big. And that's what I love our church, and I really do. I love our size, because I can pretty much know everybody in our church if they want to be known. And yet I understand it's not. God isn't calling me to be comfortable. He isn't calling me to enjoy the size and the makeup of the church and all. He's calling me, and He's calling all of us, to go and make disciples. So this idea of complacency, that I like it just the way it is, it's a mine that the enemy has set. The next one is pride. I love this, and this scripture came to my mind in Mark chapter 10. Jesus has just told His disciples, here's what He says. He says, "The Son of Man will go to Jerusalem. He will be beaten, spat upon, whipped, and hung on a cross. And on the third day He will rise again." Now, right following that conversation, while they're sitting at the table, here's what happens. James and John, two of his disciples, who just heard that, they pull Jesus aside and they say, "We want you to do something for us. When we get to heaven, can I sit at your right and him sit at your left?" Didn't they just hear what he said? I mean, really? Guys, this is serious business, this Christian stuff. This being his church, being his bride, this is serious stuff. And to wonder that, can I be glorified, Jesus, in all of this? Can I sit in the place of honor? Man, pride, man, that's an ugly thing when it takes root in a church. Pettiness is the next one. Pettiness. And I just got to tell you, y'all don't have any idea how much I brag about y'all. Probably to the point where I have to be careful of that last one I just said, that pride deal. Because I do. I tell people all the time that as I go around and I meet with other pastors, and I'm like, man, I pastor an awesome church. You just don't know. I pastor an awesome church. The people are so loving and accepting. We've had homeless people walk in, and they've received them, and we've had all sorts of diversity that comes in, and we've received them, and we've loved them. But I'm telling you, church, we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to this thing called pettiness. Let me tell you, y'all remember Jody Holland. Many of you remember Jody Holland, Jody and Renee. Renee was our children's minister. Jody has a business where he does different types of services for businesses and so forth. And I saw him last week, and he was telling me about a church. He was saying, "How's the church?" And, "Oh, it's great," and everything. And he said, "Man, I had a weird experience not long ago." I said, "What's that?" And he said, "I was hired by a pastor to come into a church and mediate." He does some mediation. I was hired by them to come in and mediate. Mediate? What were you mediating? Well, they were redoing the floor in their foyer, and some wanted carpet and some wanted tile. And he said, there was almost a split. And they hired him as a mediator to come in and settle this. And I thought, good gracious. What are we doing, church? What are we doing? Pettiness. It's, and I knew another pastor recently that got appointed to a church to try. It was a dying church. Got appointed to a church to try to revitalize this church, the first week on the job, to come in and try to inject new life into this church, do they want to meet with a pastor and say, what can we do to be God's people? What can we do to build the kingdom? No. The first order of business was a bylaw meeting. They wanted to go over bylaws. Here's our bylaws. Let's get these bylaws down and all this. Really? Really? Is that all we got to do as a church? Is figure out rules? I mean, that's what Paul was saying to the church in Galatia. He was like, really? I told you it was about Jesus, and they're telling you it's about laws, and you're believing them? Really? Pettiness. Next one, self-centeredness, which is basically pettiness is first cousin, is self-centeredness. Self-centeredness, because self-centeredness leads to pride and pettiness and all these different things. But self-centeredness, when it's all about me, it really doesn't matter about anybody else. It just matters, am I happy? Do I like the music? Do I like the decisions that are being made? So on and so forth. The next one, institutionalism. It's a fancy word. What it basically means, and I want to be real clear on this, so please hear me, you can go back and listen to the recording if you want to make sure what I said. I'll try to say this clearly. We are a United Methodist Church. I am a United Methodist pastor, and I value our heritage. And I want to work within the dynamics of what it means to be a United Methodist. But if you open up our book of discipline, which is the bylaws of our denomination, the very first thing you'll see is a mission statement. I want to read it to you. Here's what it says. Methodist is the United Methodist mission statement out of the discipline. It says, "Go and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world." It doesn't say build Wiley United Methodist into something that will, you know, be impressive. It doesn't say your allegiance is to this denomination. It says go and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That is who the United Methodist Church, and by the way, God's Word, has told us to be and to be about. And another vision came to my mind as I'm thinking through that. It's so easy, guys, for us to make our heritage, our traditions, an idol. It's so easy. I remember this was years ago at another church. Y'all don't know anything about it, so I can safely talk about it. But I was leading some music on a Wednesday night or Sunday evening, and there was an altar table, and behind the altar table was a rail, about a 6-inch rail behind the altar table, and I had had a cold, and I'm leading music, and I'd had a sore throat and cold and all, and so I had a cup of water, and I set it on this rail behind the altar table, and we're leading music and everything, and at the end of the service, I got chewed out for putting this styrofoam cup of water on this rail behind the altar table. That was disrespectful to the altar table and so on and so forth. And I'm like, golly, you know, golly. Man, is that little 6-inch piece of wood, has that somehow become an idol to us? And the image that came to me this week as I'm thinking through this, how we can do that, we can make an idol of those things. And I, Billy, I'm going to use a fireman example. This is Billy's turf since he spent 20-something years in the fire department. But this is what came to me, brother. Our church and our denomination is like this fire truck. There's lost people and there's fires, there's spiritual fires all over. And they need to be put out. They need to be dealt with. And our denomination and our church is the fire truck. It gets us to the fire. And we, the people, we're like the firemen. But the truck and the firemen don't put out the flame. Only the living water can satisfy the flame. And so without water, the fire truck and the fireman are worthless. We're useless. And so God was just showing me that man, we're to share living water with a hurting world, a lost world. And the enemy wants us to get caught up in this pettiness, in this institutionalism, and like, oh man, you know, even silliness like the color of paint and carpet. And we're not doing those things. But I'm telling you, the threat is real. Church, are you hearing me? We're not doing these things right now. But the threat is very real for any of us, each one of us. For me, I said probably the one that I struggle with the most is trying to please people. Keep everybody happy. And I'm telling you, bottom line for all of these things are sin, church. They're just pure and simple. They're sin. And the last one I want to mention is fear. And you don't have, I'm certainly not asking you to raise your hand, but in your heart of hearts, raise your hand in your mind if this was you. When you heard the lady on the recording say, things are going to change, how many of you went, whoop? They better not change. I like it. I like it just like this. You know, some of you, it's in your mind. You're like, mine did when I heard that word. Things are going to change. What? What? What does that mean? Things are going to change. I like just like this. And if we look back at, I was thinking about Moses as God called him to lead the nation of Israel out of this bondage. They had been crying out to him for 400 years to lead them out of bondage. And God through Moses, they get to leave Egypt. He parts the Red Sea. He's done all these glorious things. And they get out there in the desert, and they start kind of freaking out. Now that's I'm sure there's a version that says that somewhere. They do. They start freaking out. They're like, "Holy cow! You know, where are we going to get food? And where are we going to sleep? And what about this? And what about that?" And so they just start kind of losing it. And what do they want to do? They want to go back to the very thing that they had been pleading with God to take them from. But, you know, to go back, at least we know what's there. At least we know we can function in that world. At least we know all of that. We don't, out here, there's a lot of unknown. I really don't want to go there because I'm not sure I can trust you, God. I'm not sure I can trust you. So fear leads us back to where we're safe and comfortable, even if it's not where God wants us to be. And the other thing about this whole deal of fear and leading and God having new things for us, I just want to tell you through personal experience, and you see it in God's Word so clearly, God never wants to take you someplace that's bad. He always wants to take you to a better place, to the promised land for the Israelites. And he wanted to take them to this land flowing with milk and honey. And that's what he wants to do with us. But because of their fear and because of their disobedience, guess what? None of that generation got to see it. Moses himself didn't get to see it because of his disobedience and his fear. And so When God is calling us forward, when God is calling us into something new and change, guys, it's not something to fear. It's just not. And you've heard my story before if you've been here very long, but when God was calling Cheryl and I into the ministry, man, it was scary. It was unknown. And it scared me to death. And I'm just telling you, and I've said this before to you, but you guys are his faithfulness. You guys, this right here, y'all are his faithfulness to me and to Cheryl and to our family. Because God said, just trust me. Just trust me. He led me to Proverbs 3:5. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust me. I've got good things for you. When in July of 2002, I became pastor in September of 2002 at this church. In July of 2002, the Joshua 1, where I'll just summarize for you, basically the Lord says to Joshua as he's leading the people into the promised land, he says, "Be strong and courageous. I will give you every place where you set your foot." And I remember in July of 2002, I was actually had taken some youth on a backpacking trip. And in a period of about one day, 36 hours maybe, that passage, that Joshua 1 passage, came to me in various ways in about four or five times. And I actually noted it in my study Bible that on July of 2002, God brought this passage to me four or five times in about a 24-hour period. 2 months later, I'm pastor of the church. Had no idea that was coming. And that passage has been, it was, and it still continues to be so precious to me and such an encouragement. Be strong and courageous. I will give you every place where you set your foot. And I believe that message is for our church. Be strong and courageous. Keep seeking me, and I will give you every place where you set your foot. And I remember the first sermon, and we had a church split. If you're new to the church, it was 10 years ago, but I can tell you about that if you want to know. But the very first sermon I preached after that split, I knew that there were hurt feelings, and I knew that there were anger and so forth. And I remember, if you were here, you might remember this, but that first sermon I said, guys, I know some people have been hurt. I know some people are angry, and I know you're wounded, and I encourage you to come, and we'll talk through it, and we'll pray through it. We'll look at God's Word together. But if you are bitter and you're interested in spreading bitterness, don't come see me. I'm not interested. And I said it that clearly, and I thought, well, this may be the shortest pastoral stay in history. But you know what? God, y'all embrace that, and we have been about God's business, and God has been blessing us. And as we move forward, church, I just pray that we will be strong and courageous, because God's vision, you heard that lady say it herself, that with the cloud, the mushroom cloud, I will give you every place where you set your foot. And not so that we might be glorified, and not so that we might grow a big church, but so that we might share the good news and the hope of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. That's what God has in store for us. More of that. Let's pray. Father, it's if we're honest, it's scary. Even though we trust you, and even though we know you want good things for us, it's scary, God. The unknown is scary. And so, Father, we surrender that to you, and we pray that you would help us to navigate these traps of the enemy, these minds of the enemy. You would help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and on your kingdom. And may your kingdom come in us as individuals. And may your kingdom come in our church. And may your kingdom come in our ministry. And may your kingdom come in this community and in our state and in our nation, in our world. God, we want more of you and less of us. Father, we can do nothing without you. We're helpless without you. So, Father, just be with us. And we confess our fears and our unworthiness before you. And we ask you to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand if you're able, and as we close this morning, I'll be down front. The altar's open. If you would like to speak to me about anything, or I can pray with you, or speak to me about accepting Jesus Christ, anything at all, I'll be up front.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. Yeah.
When Jeff was preaching this morning and we were hearing the prophecy that came forth at IHOP, the Lord showed me, told me by His Holy Spirit that this prophecy indeed is true. And we are to go in faith and be obedient. And God will bless this church.
Guys, it is, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. I don't know about you. I'm pumped. I'm excited about what God has in store for us. I don't know what it is, but I'm excited about it. Be strong and courageous. Be blessed. Go forth. Everywhere you step your foot, He will give you the land. And go and tell someone. In Jesus' name, we are dismissed.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.